Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministry. Today, let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day that you have made. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, and we worship you today. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We're so grateful that you're our King, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our Provider, our Healer, our Deliverer. You are all things to us, Father, and we thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus, that came to this earth to live and show us what we could do, to give us an example of what we can do as men and women on this earth. And Lord, I praise you for the written word that declares all those mighty things about Jesus and who he was. And I worship you and praise you and thank you. As the word goes out today, reveal it to your people and let us all learn more about who we are in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, I am completely convinced that the reason, or I believe there's many reasons that there's very little power in the church today. Most churches that I've been a member of over my life, we never saw any real answers to prayer. I mean real answers. You know, there is things that the Lord did in each individual's life. I know he does hear prayers, and I know he does answer prayers. But I mean the church ought to be seeing the King do great and mighty things. And I firmly believe that one of the main reasons that there is very little power in the church today is because we have not drawn nigh to God. God is not very big in our life. I know that many years ago now, probably 20, 25 years ago, I very rarely ever got a prayer answered. And if I did, it was not a really what I would consider a significant answer to prayer. Today, when I pray for people, I expect the mighty hand of God to move and to meet the needs of the people that I pray for, because I pray in obedience to his word. And I expect the King to do great and mighty things, because he is a great and mighty God. But anyway, I think it's kind of like driving out to the mountains. Whenever we're going to drive out to the mountains years ago, when we were all a young family and our kids were growing up and everything, we took several trips to go different places. And we went out to Colorado a couple of times skiing. And I think about as we would approach the mountains of Colorado, they would seem so small. You know, they were so far in the distance. But the closer we got to those mountains, the bigger they got. And when we actually got up on top of that big mountain, some of those big mountains that we went up to in Colorado, when we would actually get on the top of them, my goodness, those mountains seemed so gigantic. In fact, we went up on top of Pikes Peak, and I think it's about 13 or 14,000 feet. I don't remember exactly now. I know it's very tall. And we went up on that mountain, and from on top of that mountain, it does look huge. And there's some great big beautiful trees on the way up and some great big other big mountains around. It's just a beautiful place. But why did that mountain seem so much bigger to me when I got to it than it did when I was 50 miles away? Because the mountain didn't change. Well, what changed was my closeness to the mountain. The closer I got to that mountain, the bigger that mountain became to me. Well, I have come to realize that the same problem is what's wrong with the church today. The power of God to flow and work in your life, one of the reasons is going to be because of your so far away from God. Now, whenever you begin to draw nigh to God, God will draw near to you. That's why that in James chapter 4, verse 8, we see written there, we are to draw near to God. So if we draw near to God, then God will draw near to us. Now, God is terribly far away from many people because they have allowed so many other things to come in between them and the Lord. Now, some people will even do their best to draw near to God with their mouth, but their heart is far from Him. And the only way to draw near to God is to earnestly, I mean earnestly, seek the Lord, seek Him out with all of your heart. In other words, search out those things which come between you and God and get rid of all those things. Now, I realize that's a very costly thing, and so many people are not willing to pay that price. But anyway, that's one of the things we all have to do. God is no respecter of persons. Another thing that causes tremendous problems in the church today, I know, is pride. Pride certainly will keep God at a distance, because the Word of God says in Psalms 138:6, "The proud God knoweth afar off," which means there God cannot work with those who are far away from Him. You must come to Him humbly. So you must humble yourself if you want the Lord to use you. Now, some people, and I think this is the problem with so many people today, they have excused the lack of power in their lives by saying the day of miracles is past. Now, the church is established now and doesn't need miracles anymore. Now, that's what some people will tell you. But I'm telling you, we need miracles more now than we ever did, because there's more of us and we're just human beings, but we're God's kids. But we most definitely need the supernatural to get by, because there's an enemy out there, Satan and his host, and he is still attacking us. Now, nowhere does the Scripture confirm such a thought that miracles has passed away. I do not understand where people get that old saying, but I've heard so many people say, well, the Lord only did miracles, or He only did healings or deliverances and all that stuff when He was here on the earth. That was just for the apostles. But you cannot find that in the Scriptures. In fact, you can find quite the contrary. The Lord clearly tells us in His Word that we today are to cast out devils, heal the sick, and do all the things He told those men to do. So the Scripture also confirms in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. So behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or your sins have separated you and your God. Now, don't blame God for your lack of power, because God is not the problem. The problem is always squarely where it belongs, right on you. You are too far from God, because there are many sins in your heart, and if you keep those sins will separate you from between the Lord and His Word. Now, there may even be some of your friends, even some of your loved ones, that'll come between you and God. But Jesus said in His Word in Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now think about what the Lord is saying there. He is saying that you absolutely must put Him first in everything that you do. Now the cares of life may become between you and God. Like weeds choking out a crop and making it unfruitful, this is the way the people and things and the cares of life will come upon you and overtake you. Now, some people give all their thoughts to the things of this life, just as though they were going to live here forever. God cannot work with such people as this. To be near to the heart of God and feel the pulse beat of His compassion for the lost and the suffering, you must have a constant realization of the shortness of life and the inevitability of eternity. Now then, when you begin to get a hold of the fact that you were born, you came to this earth, you were raised up till you were 18 or 20 years old by your parents, Then you stepped out on your own. You thought you would never get to be 21 years old, where you could do things like vote and other little odds and ends that you might want to do. But all of a sudden, the day come and you were 21. And you turn around twice and you're 51. And then you turn around a couple more times and you're 61 and then 71. And you think, where did life go? Well, I'm telling you, I have come to realize in my older years, of all the years I've spent here on this earth, life is very short and it's very fragile. In fact, I don't mind telling you that on October the 13th, this last year, 2001, the inevitability of the shortness of life came home to me whenever my wife and my daughter were killed in a car wreck in just one heartbeat. They were both here, and they were both gone. And that's just the way life is on this earth. So we have to get ready and be prepared to die here on this earth and go home to be with the Lord. Because if you don't, it's going to be a hard time when it happens, but it's going to happen. So what you need to do is you need to start, if you're not already doing it, you need to begin to praise the Lord. Because I am completely convinced that some people are kept at a distance from God because of a lack of appreciation of who God really is. So praise is lacking in their lives. Real appreciation for who God is and what He has done will bring forth praise, and praise brings us into the presence of God, because He clearly told us in Psalms 100, verse 4, He said, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Now, I'm telling you, when I walked into my granddaughter's hospital room on October the 13th, and she was supposed to have died that day, I walked into that room with praise in my heart. And by walking in with praise and serving the Lord and being obedient to His word, I saw my King raise up all these little children off their deathbed and make them well. He is an awesome God. Praise the Lord. I'd like to ask you to write me. The Living Savior Ministries at Box 35, Justin, Texas 76247. Also, you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can get our list of tapes and where we're going to be speaking and these things. We would also like you to call us at 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you to our church on Sunday afternoon. We have church every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 at the North Dallas at 10921 Shady Trail. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go north from Dallas on 35E to Walnut Hill. Exit to the right on Walnut Hill and go four streets to Shady Trail. Turn right. And we're about 300 yards down on the right. Come praising the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Father. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship You and we praise You. We thank You for this beautiful, glorious, magnificent day that You have sent. I am so grateful, Lord, for all the things You sent. I'm grateful for the rain You send at times. I'm grateful for the flowers You bring forth. I'm grateful for everything that You do, Lord. And I just worship You and praise You for the abundance of all things, because You are a mighty God. Lord, I worship You and praise You and thank You for all of the wonderful things You have done for me and for others as we have prayed and stood on Your word. I thank You, Father. I worship You and praise You and thank You. Now, Lord, as Your word goes out, use it today to bring glory and honor to Your precious name. And we give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Today I'm continuing to talk about why that there's so little power, or at least why I believe there's so little power in the church. And, of course, I believe that is the same reason it was wrong with me most of my life. I didn't draw near to God. I didn't praise God. There's a whole lot of things I've learned in this book that is the reasons why there's no power in the church. But one of those, in fact, I spoke a complete service here a while back, not long ago, on praise. How we should wake up in the morning praising the Lord. How we should walk around through the day, raising our hands and saying, "Praise the Lord Jesus." But do it really from your heart. Don't just do it. Do it because you love God. When you walk into your workplace, raise a hand to speak to somebody and say, "Praise the Lord Jesus. How are you doing today?" And if you will do that, you will be doing the things the Lord wants you to do. And that is one more of the things that you have to do if you really want to see the Lord share His power with you and really answer your prayers. There is so many requirements in the Word of God. But one of the things I know is praise is absolutely lacking in our lives. The real appreciation for God is and what He has done is absolutely, it will come to pass if we will praise Him. And praise Him brings us into the presence of God. Because He clearly said in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." So how do you think He wants us to enter into His worship center? He wants us to enter into His worship center praising Him and thanking Him for who He really is. Now, God absolutely desires to be near His people so much that He sent His Holy Spirit to take up residency just inside His children. Now, He didn't send the Holy Spirit to come close on the outside to us. He sent the Holy Spirit to take up residency within our body. He has moved in. We are His dwelling place. When you begin to get a hold of who you are in Christ, then you will begin to be on your right path to seeing the Lord do great and mighty things when you pray for people. But He absolutely has sent the Holy Spirit, which is a very unique experience to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's so well laid out in the book of Acts. I don't see how anybody could miss that. But a lot of us do. Just goes to show the ability of the enemy to deceive us. If there's anything I can say about the devil, that beast is always on the job. I will have to say, he don't never take a break or take a vacation. He is always on the job. And he's doing a pretty bad thing to lots of people, I will have to say, because we have not learned who we are and what we can do against the enemy. But praise God for the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher, and He has taken up residency within your body. And when you open your heart and allow the Spirit of God to fill you, to baptize you, and take possession of every part of your body, you find that He is much nearer than ever before. He will be a much greater God to you than you have ever known. Now, then, as He is allowed to continue to dwell in your heart richly, teaching and guiding you into a closer relationship with the Father and a pure life of holiness, the greatness of God will become absolutely more, much more apparent to you. He will increase in your life. Now, that's what all of us want the Lord to do. We want the Holy Spirit to increase in our life. Well, if you want to see the Lord increase in your life, then ask the Father in the name of Jesus to fill you with the mighty Holy Spirit every morning of your life. When you get up, wake up worshiping and praising the King. He is worthy of your worship and praise. So whatever you do, wake up praising the King. Praising the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, that's the only way you can get it done. So whatever you do, when you wake up in the morning, wake up worshiping and praising the Lord. And as you do that, our King will become absolutely much closer to you, and you will know Him better, and you will begin to understand who this great and mighty Holy Spirit is. And you'll find out that He will be a much greater God to you than you have ever known. Then, as He is allowed to continue to dwell in you richly, teaching and guiding you into a closer relationship with the Father and a pure life of holiness, the greatness of God will become more and more apparent to you. He will increase in your life. All you got to do is make yourself available to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will make yourself available to Him, He will begin to do great and mighty things. Now, the more you come to know Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by walking beside Him day and night, and the more you feed upon the Word, the more He will become absolutely a mighty God, and the more He will increase in your sight and in your life. And all that we know of God, we know by faith. Because in Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, like I said, that's written in Romans 10:17. So it's very important to feed upon the word of God. I cannot, absolutely cannot, overemphasize the importance of studying God's mighty word. And hide it in your heart. Because if the enemy comes against you, ladies and gentlemen, if the enemy begins to come against you in the area especially of financial problems or sickness and disease, which is what he does, and he does very well to us, if we have to go get our owner's manual, which is the Bible, and look up a problem whenever we need the answer, forget it. If you're not any better learned in the Word of God, you will never be able to overcome the enemy when he comes to your house. Because you absolutely will have to have the Word hidden in your heart. Now, the more you come to know Him by walking beside Him day by day, then the more you feed upon His Word. And the more you feed upon His Word, the more you will increase in your sight. All that we know of God, we know by faith. Think of that, folks. We didn't have the privilege of walking with the King when He was here on the earth. So all we know is what somebody else wrote to us in a book about Him, until you begin to seek Him diligently and learn who He is. And when you begin to seek Him diligently, He, just like He promised in His Word, He will come and dwell with you, and He will absolutely show you great, great, great and mighty things. He is absolutely an awesome God. So it's important to feed upon the Word of God. It is strange, but some who pay very little heed to the Word of God absolutely still appear to have His power. But He will not honor with His presence those who dishonor His Word. Now that is a very, very major point right there. You must honor the Word of God. You must walk holy before the King. The Word itself will help cleanse and cleanse our lives of the sins which stand between us and God. Whatever we should a young man cleanse his way by taking heed therein according to your Word. Now, the Lord tells us clearly that we should cleanse our way, because He wrote that for us in Psalms 119:9. Now, as the Lord has dealt with me about this matter, God made it very plain that if these things were allowed to persist in my life, in other words, if sin were tolerated and allowed to remain, He would continue to be at a distance from me. And at that distance, He could only be to me the little meaningless God whom so many others profess to serve. The only way God could increase His power to my life and use me for His glory was for me to keep out everything that came between us. The only way He could remain the great I Am, and for me to continually walk in the light of His Word and by the power of His Spirit. Now, I had to decrease daily and become more absorbed in Christ, who must increase. He must increase in our lives. Not could increase or might increase, but must increase if you want to see the power of God flow through you. There is no other way of doing it. He must increase in control of my life if I am to have His power. He absolutely has to increase or it's absolutely impossible. So you have to realize that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Fill me all overflowing. Not just fill me one day, but fill me every day, Father, that I may be used of you for your glory. You can call us and get these teachings at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And also we'd like to invite you to our church on every Sunday afternoon at 2 to 4 at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go north on 35E until you get to Walnut Hill. Turn right or east on Walnut Hill and go four streets to Shady Trail. Turn right. We're about 300 yards down on the right. We're there every Sunday afternoon, and we have church from 2 to 4 p.m., and the Lord does many mighty miracles. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, we worship you, Father. We worship Jesus. We worship the Holy Spirit. We praise you for this beautiful, glorious day that you have made and for the privilege to come before you anytime we like, to come into your throne room and just praise you and worship you and thank you. Thank you, Father, for the word that's going out today. I ask you to touch our hearts and our minds with the magnificent teachings from your word, because it's all about you and not about me or the people that are out here, but it's all about you and you showing and telling us what we should do so we can walk in obedience to your word so your magnificent power can flow through us. Now we praise you and thank you and worship you. As the word goes out today, use it to do great things for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today, or this week, I'm still talking about why so few of us walk in very much power with the Lord. And I'm just going through the Word of God and finding many things that will show you why that we do not have power with God today. And another one of those things I'm going to talk about today is found in Matthew 12:36. I had a man ask me this question the other day. He said, "Where is it written we shall be judged by every idle word we speak?" I said, that's in Matthew 12:36. So I turned over to Matthew 12:36, and it literally reads, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Matthew 12:36. Now think about that. Think about what that just said. The Lord is literally recording every word that we speak. Not just all the good words, but every word, even the idle words, the words we're sitting around when we're telling jokes and when we do, if we do those kind of things. I hope as a Christian you do not do those kind of things. But always remember that every word you speak is being recorded. It's being recorded on the best voice recorder that there ever was, the one that God has. So every word you speak is being recorded. So be very careful what you speak, because you're going to give account of every word. Not only word, but every idle word. Now, I might say that absolutely nothing reveals a lack of real spirituality more quickly and thoroughly than foolish talking, or jesting, or idle words. A perpetual flow of foolish talking and joking labels a shallow Christian as one who has no concern for others and no burden for the lost and suffering. Although this may seem like a very small matter in the eyes of many of you, there are few spiritual diseases which are more devastating and contagious than this. Now, God absolutely, he classes foolish talking along with some very unattractive companions. I'm going to read a scripture here to you out of Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. And I want you to see the group of sins that the Lord classes idle words with. Now, in Ephesians 5, starting with verse 3, listen. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, that's written in Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. Now, don't you agree with me that those are some very unattractive companions that the Lord has put together in a group there? I know lots of people would say, well, yeah, but fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, I can understand. But he classes that whole group right in there with foolish talking and jesting. All that is right there together. So whatever you do, be careful of what you say. Now then, Jesus himself declared in another place in the scripture, he says, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and that's what defile the man. Now, that's written in Mark 7, 21 through 23. Foolishness, then, will defile a man the same as fornication. There are many who would never kill or steal from anybody, yet they will enter the pulpit and publicly and unashamedly reveal by their words that they are defiled within. Now, I have heard some men from the pulpits. It is amazing at some of the things that comes out of our mouth today. People, supposedly men that are pastors and deacons and teachers, you just need to listen to what some of these people say. Now, men, those of you that are pastors, like myself, of a church, or ministers, or deacons, or elders, or whatever in the church, in a position of authority, you need to be very, very careful about your tongue. You need to be very, very careful what comes out of your mouth. Because I'm going to tell you that I have never yet found a man being mightily used of the Lord to bring deliverance to the sick and sinful, whose mouth is filled with foolishness. I have never seen that done. Now, there are those who entertain the people, getting heartily laughs in response to their jokes and nonsense. But when a real need arises, they haven't got the goods. They are unable to bring deliverance and be a blessing. In fact, I was listening to a speaker from one of our he was the dean of one of our large seminaries here in the state of Texas just recently. And he stood before a group of people that I was there and probably spoke, 30 or 40 minutes. But in the 30 or 40 minutes he spoke, all he did was try to tell jokes that would make people laugh. That man did not present the Word of God to not one single person in that place. You would think that a dean of one of our colleges would definitely be able to stand before a group of people and at least present something from the Word of God that was enlightening and powerful. But it didn't happen that night. Now then, at times, some of these people may even try to put off the usual lightness and preach or teach about deeply spiritual things. But to those who hear them, there is no ring of sincerity, no real persuasion that they speak as the Word of God. They are like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, as the Lord says. Now, I absolutely do not wish to infer that God's people should go around with a long face all the time, having no joy. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But God's people should be the happiest people in the world, for He commanded, "Rejoice evermore." That's in Thessalonians 5:16. Now, God's people may be so happy, they should be so happy, absolutely, that they will shout, sing, clap their hands, dance, laugh, and even leap for joy. Yes, that's what I'm saying. We should absolutely be able and willing to walk into the sanctuaries today and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The reason I can say that is because this particular scripture I just quoted is written for you in Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. And then I'm going to quote another one. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Now, I wonder why more of us don't do that when we come to church, because that's written in Psalms 47:1. And then in Psalms 149:3, I preached on this particular chapter not too long ago. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and with the harp. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. So if all of these men of old in the Psalms, and it talks about make a joyful noise, come into the Lord with gladness, and come in singing, clapping our hands and shouting unto God, bring the songs and sing, bring the timbrel and the harp, and David danced before the Lord, then if all these people did these things, why in the world can't we do these things? Now, I realize some people do these things, but a lot of people never learn how to praise the King of the universe. Well, His praise should continuously be on our lips. Now then, there's another scripture here in Psalm 126, verse 2 and 3. I want to read this to you. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, that scripture there, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, is in Nehemiah 8:10. But the Christian who doesn't have joy is a weak Christian and is a poor representative of the faith he claims. If he doesn't begin to experience joy, he will probably soon be completely backslidden and seek his own joy somewhere else. The joy which brings strength is rejoicing in the Lord. It is not rejoicing in the power of our own strength, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Now, many who are guilty of the sin of foolish, excessive, and unprofitable talking will at first be tempted to brand me as a fanatic and rise to the defense of their pet sin. They will declare that it is a mistake to take things too seriously. However, they can find no scriptural defense for this view. Now, I'm telling you, rescuing the lost and bringing deliverance to the suffering is serious business which requires the whole heart and mind of the one who is consecrated to the task. Now then, if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to see many people saved. So you might ask yourself the question, how many people have I led into the kingdom of God in the last year? We'd like to invite you to write us at the Living Savior at Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or give us a call for tapes, audios and videotapes of all these teachings, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or we'd like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Also like to invite you to our healing school the second Saturday of every month.
It's at the same location where we have church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. We teach people how to get healed there and how to walk in divine health. So if you want to come, we'll certainly show you what causes sickness and disease and how to get free from the enemy. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We really do have a wonderful Lord, and He's made a wonderful book to teach us how to walk in health. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we worship You and we praise You and thank You for this beautiful, glorious, wonderful day that You've made. Lord, as we talk about what we must do if we want Your power to increase in our life, help us, Lord, to understand how serious a thing this is and how serious it is about winning souls and getting people born into the kingdom of God and getting people that are Christians or any other person healed and delivered from the evil one. Lord, this is really serious business, and that's what we're here for. So, Lord, reveal these truths to us today as we read Your word and study Your word. May every word that comes out of our mouth bring glory and honor to Your precious name. And as the word goes out today, quicken it to everyone's heart that they may learn more about how to walk in obedience to Your word, so the power that You have would flow through each one of us, so You might use us mightily for Your kingdom. And we praise You and thank You and worship You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're continuing to talk. Yesterday and today, we're talking about foolish talking or these words that comes out of our mouth. And like Matthew 12:37, He said He will literally, 12:36, He said He will absolutely judge us for every idle word that comes out of our mouths. So I think that too many times, too many Christians have too many idle words or coarse joking that comes out of our mouth. I know we make all kinds of comments to people. We say things, we say cutting remarks and things that we should not say. I know I worked in the workplace many years with normal men around maintenance facilities, around building contractors, and all kinds of construction. And it's just absolutely amazing the filth that comes out of some of those men's mouths. And some of those men profess to be Christians. But if they are Christians, they're carnal Christians, and there's absolutely no power from God flowing through their life. They're not winning anybody to Christ, and they're most definitely not getting anybody healed or delivered from the devil. You don't do that when you walk in the devil's world. You know, many people will insist on talking in whatever manner they choose. And some of them prefer their jokes, their foolish jesting, and nonsense to the power of God in their lives. Now, that's a choice you have to make. If you don't want the power of God to flow in your life, or if you don't even know it's available, and most people that are walking in disobedience to God's word, they're so steeped in sin, they don't even know that there is power available to them. Now then, if this is the way you feel, that you'd rather do your jokes and your foolish jesting and your nonsense versus having power, the power of God to flow in your life. Now, if this is the way you feel, God will just have to go on without you. Because I'm telling you, God chose to work through the spoken word of His representatives in this world. When Jesus was here, He said to His disciples, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." What about the words you speak? Does the words you speak have any power or life? Are you leading anybody to Christ? Have you seen anybody saved in the last week, in the last month, in the last year, in the last 5 years? Well, let me tell you, if you have not, you're not within the will of God. We are all supposed to go out and make disciples. Now, if you haven't led anybody to Christ in a week, that's one thing. But if you haven't led anybody to Christ in a month, but if for sure in a year, everybody in the church should duplicate themselves more often than once a year, that's for sure, were not doing very much. But I happened to see the report from a large, in fact, I'll just tell you, it was a Southern Baptist here a few years ago, and I remember there was over 1,100 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention that had not one single convert in a whole year. I don't care if that little church only had 10 or 20 people. It should have had at least one convert in a year. Now, either that pastor is not going out and telling people about Jesus, or the people in that church are not praying, and or all of it, or they're all using too many idle words. So because if you will speak God's word, and you'll be obedient to God's word, you will change people's life, because God's word never returns to him void. Now, some people will say that joking helps them to forget their troubles. Now, I've heard that story. But Jesus forgot his troubles by relieving the troubles of others. Now, that's where we need to live, because the Lord says he is the example that we are to follow. In him whom there was no sin. So we're supposed to follow him as an example for our life. Now, James compares this speech coming out of our mouths to water running from a fountain. Because in James chapter 3, he insists that a fountain should give forth the same kind of water all the time. Not sweet water part of the time, and bitter water part of the time. Then he adds in verse 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In Ephesians 4:29, it's written for us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Isn't it amazing how many different places in the Word of God the Lord had something to say about our words? But words which do not edify are idle words. They're vain words. They're empty. They're unprofitable words. They are wasted words. God gives authority and power to the believer. This is his precious gift to us, and it should not be wasted. Now, Jesus said, whosoever, now, I don't know how many times in the Word of God that word whosoever is used. One of these days I'm going to look that up on my computer and see. But when I read whosoever, I'm going to tell you that that means me. Now, I don't know if you can think it means you, but it should. So anytime the Word of God says whosoever, that should mean you and I. And it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, this was Jesus made this promise to us. Now, if somebody else said this, it would be one thing. But with the King of the universe, I know in him all things are possible. Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, in Mark 11:23, this is an awesome, awesome scripture. And this scripture gives us the power to speak with authority, even to the extent of controlling all things. Now, it's the same power Jesus used when he spoke to the wind and the sea and calmed the storm over there in Mark 4:39. Now, that's an awesome scripture. When you read that, you'll find right there that the Lord showed us that as a man, we have dominion over storms. We don't have to let those things come over and kill us, because he was a man and he spoke to the storm, and the sea became idle and the wind stopped. But just think about what he said there that we could do. And how do we get it done? By words. Are your words important? They are very important. So you need to make sure that you always speak good, words, truthful and holy words. Because in Mark 4 there, as Jesus said, when he commanded the sea, peace be still, and then when the men turned to him and said, what kind of man is this? Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, where is your faith? In other words, what he's trying to tell us when he says, where is your faith? He's trying to say, why didn't you do it? You have the power and authority. I've given you from the beginning of time dominion over all things. Now then, I realize the enemy got it back, but then praise the Lord, Jesus got it back for us. So since Jesus got it back for us, all things are now ours. Now, it is the same power Moses used when he spoke to the rock in the desert and the water gushed forth, because that was written for us over Numbers chapter 20. Now, Joshua used that same power when he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still over in Joshua 10, 12, and 13. Now, think about that. That's got to be one of the most awesome things that you can read about in the Word of God. Now, Jesus demonstrated this power when he spoke to the fig tree, because he cursed the fig tree. Look what he said. He said, no man eat fruit of you henceforth, hereafter, forever, in Mark 11, 14. Now, he commanded the tree to die, and it died. It was on this occasion that he expressly delegated this same power and authority to any who believe. Now, isn't that amazing, the power the Lord gave us there? And I'm telling you, we as normal Christians, we allow the enemy to run over us. We allow storms to come upon us, hail to hit our cars, everything else as Christians, when the Lord told us, if we have faith, nothing shall be impossible with us. Next time that you see a hailstorm or a high wind or a storm coming to your place, reach up and get your Bible and find you a promise in it that says you have power over these kind of things, of which there's many, and walk outside with your Bible in your hand and read it to the devil. Command him to stop killing, stealing, and destroying. And if you will believe that with no doubt in your heart, you will have whatever you say, because Jesus said you can. Now, don't you dare go out there and try to do that, because you don't try to do anything in the kingdom. When you take a promise of God, you don't never try to lay hands on the sick to see if they'll get well. Because if you do, the devil's going to laugh at you, and they will not get well. But if you go in there and do it God's way, and do it exactly like he said, then he will do great and mighty things for you. And you will see men and women who have God's power in their words. They will be able to speak deliverance from ever oppression of Satan. Words that bring salvation for the soul and healing for the body. So praise God. Whatever you do, get out there and preach and teach the Word of God, allowing the Lord to use you and your words to bring mighty, many mighty people into the kingdom of God. Give me a call for teaching tapes, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. You can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. There you can send us an email. We'd like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come and be blessed. We would love to have you. Also like to invite you to our healing school the second Saturday of every month.
It's at the same location where we have church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. We teach you how to walk in divine health. Come and be with us. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you that you, Father, are our Lord and our God, and Jesus is our advocate, our brother, our attorney, and praise the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit that he sent to indwell us, that he will reveal to us the mighty truths of the Word of God. So, Father, as the Holy Spirit is in us and he's our teacher, I ask you today to have him reveal to us the truths of your mighty Word so we might be able to learn more about who we are and what we can do and how we can come against the forces of darkness and see you do great and mighty things as we speak your words. Now, Father, I praise you and worship you and thank you for your mighty word. As it goes out today, open it to the hearts and minds of all that will hear it and use your word mightily for your glorious kingdom and to bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you, Father. Amen. Well, we're still talking this week. We're continuing up to today, the last day of the week. We're still talking about the power of words and the things that you need to say. Now, I'm going to tell you that men and women who have God's power in their words can speak deliverance from every oppression of Satan. Words that bring salvation for the soul and healing for the body. To them, his representatives, Jesus warned that idle, wasted words would be brought into judgment. Words which would have been life, deliverance, bread to starving souls, but instead were words of chaff and worthlessness. Now, in the world of dying, starving souls and suffering humanity, how sad it is to withhold the one source of life and deliverance and offer stones for bread. Instead of being a fountain which gives forth the pure water of life, too many people today give forth a stream of froth and foolishness, which, if not poisonous, is utterly unattractive and unprofitable. Now, how will we measure up in that day when our deeds and words are judged by the standards of the Word of God? If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. Now that's 1 Peter 4:11. So when you speak, you need to speak the words of God. And if you will speak the words of God, they will bring forth great and awesome fruit for the kingdom of God. There's just no two ways about it. Now those who insist on continuing in their foolishness or like a group of young ladies who were seen in a vision by a saint of God. These people were so busy making daisy chains to warn the passerbys, but their steps were leading to impending danger. Just ahead was an awful problem where they could quickly fall and be dashed to death on the rocks below. This kind of selfish preoccupation is far from the Spirit of Christ, who had compassion upon the multitudes. Now, I do not mean that there is no place for humor in the conversation of the Christian, or even in the preaching of the Word. Many times, the speech that we use, or the preaching that we use, can be humorous and still be sanctified. I have even made little jokes or little statements about the Word of God that quickly give people revelation and wisdom and understanding from what is written. Now, a bit of humor, especially when used to illustrate a point, can be and is very, very profitable. Now, it can arouse the attention and interest of the people that are listening, and it can drive home the message of the gospel, so that souls turn to God. Now, if it's used in this manner, it is not idle and unprofitable. Anytime you use God's word to bring people under conviction and bring souls into the kingdom of God or get people healed or delivered, it's not unprofitable teaching. So always remember that. But be very careful what you say. Now, the reason that some Christians speak so many idle words is simply because they speak so many words. Some people just talk all the time and really don't ever say anything. So start paying attention to what you're saying. Is what you're saying line up with the Word of God? And is it bringing forth fruit? If it's not, then check out your vocabulary and begin to change it. That's quite simple. Now, most people that talk so much, they have no time to think, or that they listen to the voice, or don't have time to listen to the voice of God. Now, foolish words come so easily, we don't even have to think about them. We hear foolish words everywhere. They seem to be produced by repetition. The spirit of the age is an ever-increasing spirit of wickedness, which makes serious thinking different and difficult for both sinner and saint. Now, it is typified by the often repeated phrase, "Don't take life too seriously. After all, you'll never get out of it alive." How many times have you heard people make that kind of statement? Now, in such an age as we live, it takes real effort and consecration to study and be quiet and wait before God till we receive His powerful words. But the wise man will do it, for he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Listen to that. Now, that's in Proverbs 17:27. Proverbs 17:27 says, "But the wise man will do it, for he that hath knowledge spareth his words. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." Now, that's Proverbs 15:14. "But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." Now, in Proverbs 10:19, it says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." So think about that. A fool's voice is known by multitudes of words. So those people that go around just talking all the time, that don't pay any attention to what they're saying, you can be assured that they will speak foolishly. Now, as I've mentioned before, holiness is necessary if we are to have God's power in our lives, because the Word of God clearly says in 1 Peter 1:16, "Without holiness, it is impossible for anyone to see God." And holiness is not complete until it has taken possession of the tongue. I'm going to tell you, you have to learn how to talk before you can be used powerfully by the Lord. And then in 1 Peter 1:15 it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." So in what are you supposed to be holy? In other words, in everything you say. If this 1 Peter 1:15 says, "Be holy, so that you may be holy in all manner of conversation," that means in all of your words, speak the word of God, or be holy. And then I beseech you, brethren, to give this matter your prayerful consideration. I mean prayerful consideration, because many who are lost in suffering that are out there in the world will never find deliverance unless you make yourself ready and take them the delivering power of Jesus Christ. Now, consecrate yourself to God. Do this afresh and present your body to Him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Now, do not forget or neglect to include your tongue, your lips, and your voice, because the Lord is going to hold you accountable for every word that you speak. Whenever we finally get that in our spirit, that we live in a world that we have spoken into existence with our mouth, whether it be good or bad, the world you and I live in, we have literally spoken it into existence with our mouth. We've either spoken blessings or curses, but we have done it ourselves. So, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, the power to speak in God's stead and bring deliverance, avoiding praying, avoiding profane and vain or empty worthless babblings. Now, it is my prayer that all people who learn how to speak will cast aside all things which hinder the freedom of power of God in their lives. Put all of your, put everything on the altar before God and carry a burden for the lost and suffering. Remember, God can go on without you. But if you go on without God, you must go by yourself. You can't go God's way unless you go His way. Now, you must read this owner's manual. You must do everything according to the Word of God, and you must do it God's way. So whatever you do, please start thinking about what you're saying. Put all foolish talking aside. Now, get out of this rut and into the stream of God's power. God's promises for you, if you will only believe them, if you will only meet His conditions, and you're only willing to pay the price that He requires. Now, I realize the price that God requires for you to walk wholly before Him is worth it. So whatever you do, get into His Word, learn all these mighty things that you need to do so that you can walk in power with God. Make sure you walk with all your sins confessed, all of them confessed, all the time. Don't sin. Don't even say you're going to sin. Because if you say you're going to sin, you will sin. So whatever you do, learn how to walk perfect, learn how to walk holy, and learn how to be obedient to God in all things so that He will hear and answer your prayers. Now, praise the Lord. I invite you to write me for audio and video tapes on all these subjects. The Living Savior at Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or give me a call, and I will send them to you at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can find a list of all of our video and audio tapes. We have many other tapes of the Healing School that's not listed on there. But anyway, you can get most of my teachings there. Or you can send us an email from there. We'd also invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. Also like to invite you to my healing school. The second Saturday of every month starts at 1 p.m.
It's at the same location we have church, 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m., usually goes till about 5, the second Saturday of every month. We teach you how to walk in divine health and how to get healed. Come and expect the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise His holy name.